You're listening to First Baptist Church of Aberdeen at Home with Pastor Gary Compton. We would like to extend a special thank you to the Droog family for making this morning's broadcast possible. On today's message entitled On the Edge of Eternity, Pastor Gary unpacks what it truly means to be born again as we take a closer look at Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God.
Welcome to our worship service. We celebrate God's kindness for giving us a new day. Let us sing praises, for great is the Lord. Help us to leave behind yesterday and to not to be concerned about tomorrow. May we enjoy the gift of today. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give God, give us mercy. You are gracious and righteous. Your God is full of compassion. You are worthy of our praise and our adoration. O Lord our God, we praise you with all of our hearts.
River. privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take him to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Let's pray together. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. It's good to worship you and to surrender to you our cares of life. We pray for guidance and direction during our uncertain days. We pray for those that try to silence your voice because of their lack of faith. We pray, dear Lord, for your grace and presence to be with us always. We pray, dear Lord, that your wisdom will be with our leaders that make decisions that influence our future lives. We're thankful for our circle of friends that share with us words of encouragement. We give you thanks for your wisdom and help in our daily living. We're thankful for our church family that helps us to feel a sense of belonging. We pray that our faith will increase during our days ahead. God of eternal life and truth, direct our paths. For the gift of grace and salvation will be yours, and we thank you for those gifts. Lift our hearts as we worship you this Sunday morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? 'Cause our God is the Lion of Judah. Roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. 'Cause our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can could stop the Lord Almighty. 'Cause our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. And our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Who could stop the Lord Almighty? Who could stop the Lord Almighty? Who could stop the Lord Almighty? Who could stop the Lord? 'Cause our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power, fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. And our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before.
Scripture reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the things that you do and the signs that you have unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel at what I said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him and said, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness with what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." It's a common phrase, but we're told not to judge a book by its cover. So it is a wise thing to judge someone or something by the outside rather than what's on the inside. A few years ago, a publisher made a big mistake. A book had been on the market for several years, so it was a time for a makeover. The author rewrote the book to bring it up to date, but when the revision was published, there was a problem. The publisher gave the book a nice new cover, but mistakenly printed the old manuscript inside instead of the updated version of the book. The exterior was fresh and new, but the interior was old and out of date. The reprint was not really new at all, but just looked new on the outside. If a person gets a makeover to change their physical appearance, but isn't happy with the results, they will struggle with their self-concept. They may realize that they might need to make some changes in your life, but it's easy to focus in the wrong direction. So we work hard on the externals without making vital changes in our hearts. When Nicodemus met Jesus, he was seeking something that was missing in his life. From the point of view of other people that knew him, they would have been surprised that Nicodemus was in need of anything. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, the Hebrew equivalent of a college professor, a federal judge, a bishop, all in one. He was a cultivated and respected religious leader. Jesus taught that he came to save sinners, but there must have been some reckless sinner out there that needed Jesus more than Nicodemus. It would have been easy to pick another person out of the crowd that had made much more of a mess of their life than this religious leader. Jesus was in the business of making Pharisees like Nicodemus uncomfortable. They didn't like him, and the feeling was mutual. Jesus had a habit of condemning Pharisees for being self-righteous. In Matthew 15:14, he said, "They are blind leaders of the blind." But Nicodemus was seeking the truth and was open to what Jesus had to say. He suspected this young teacher might be the Messiah, the promised of Israel by God. So we learn from the scriptures that Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and says to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." It's interesting that Nicodemus, being a learned man, comes at night. He must have been concerned about being a Pharisee, that if he is seen in public with Jesus, that it would tarnish his reputation. He can't stay away because he has questions that only Jesus can answer. But before he can get to his questions, he is surprised by Jesus. Jesus abruptly utters some words to Nicodemus that seem out of context. "You must be born again." He decides that Nicodemus needs to go through a course of Christianity 101. Rather than small talk, Jesus creates a conversation starter about a profound theological truth. Nicodemus knew about Jesus' reputation as a spiritual leader. News about him was spreading from one person to another. Through his ministry, Jesus was known to bless, to heal, and to save a person. After these many encounters, people would tell others about Jesus because they could not possibly keep it to themselves. Person by person, the news began to spread about Jesus' saving powers and his through personal testimonies. In 1 John 5:11, it says, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in the Son." All of us live on the edge of eternity. If you believe that eternity is just around the corner, then you will choose to live differently. What you believe about God matters. What you believe about the Bible matters. What you believe about heaven matters. What you believe about faith matters. The reality that emerges is that life determines your eternal fate. Because we live on the edge of eternity, we need to keep the right perspective in the times that we live in. We are to live in this world, but we refuse to be of this world. Every time a boy went to his playmate's house, he saw his grandmother studying her Bible. Finally, he asked his friend about it. "Why is your grandmother always reading the Bible?" He answered, "I don't know, but I think she's cramming for her finals." Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, and a victim into a victory. In order to instruct Nicodemus into the basics of salvation, Jesus used three different illustrations. Jesus talks about birth, or specifically, the new birth. Jesus says, you must be born again. What is he telling Nicodemus? He's saying, it's time for a change. You've grown up thinking your religion is right, but it's not. It's time to be born again. Nicodemus seemed a bit confused at this point. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, that's an odd question for Nicodemus to ask, being born again. That phrase was commonly used by Jews to refer to Gentile converts. A Gentile converting to Judaism would cut ties with his family and would be referred to a newly born child. In other words, any Gentile convert in the eyes of Jews was like a newborn child. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus that changing the outside through the law isn't going to put you in a right relationship with God, because you need to admit your sin and to have a change of heart. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 15, 7 to 9, you hypocrites, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Pharisaical rules were the doctrines of men that Jesus was commenting on. Such rules would not be able to transform the heart. In Matthew 9, 13, Jesus said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus uses the idea of wind to refer to the Holy Spirit. John 3, 8, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus uses a play on words to explain the importance of the new birth. Wind is used to represent the work of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word pneuma can be translated to mean spirit or wind, depending on the context. Like the wind, the Spirit is invisible but powerful. Trust the Spirit's work in your heart, because it has the power to create a new birth. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. A natural thinking person never quite gets the value of the spiritual realm. It's easier to live in the here and now than to think about eternity. Belief is a consequence of a new birth. If you let the Spirit in your life, then the capacity to believe is increased by Christ's presence. Author Chip Ingram shares his thoughts about the spiritual life. Give God what he wants the most. God's greatest desire for you is that you surrender yourself completely to him. He wants the same place in your heart that he possesses in the universe, the top position. God, who created you, has the best interest in mind and wants you to trust him. Total commitment to God is the channel through which God's best and biggest blessings flow. Stop trying to live the Christian life in your own terms. Tell God that you're willing to pursue his plans for your life rather than your own. Invite him in to use your life to accomplish something great. Be willing to follow his guidance in every situation, no matter where he leads you. Jesus refers to a bronze serpent on a pole to refer to the new life. John 3, 14 to 15, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In Numbers 21, the Israelites were grumbling and speaking against God. In the story of sin and rebellion, God decides to punish his people. He sent fiery serpents that bit the people, and many died. But God provided grace in the midst of the sinfulness. Moses prayed for the people. God provided a remedy. Moses followed God's instructions and made a brass serpent. He lifted it up for all to see. Any stricken person that looked at the serpent would immediately be healed. The difference between perishing and living was looking up. Jesus tells Nicodemus to lift up the Son of God. So if a person lifts up the name of Jesus and repents of their sin, they can be born again. Jesus is either a great burden or a real blessing in your life. If you imagine faith to be a burden, then you will not enjoy the journey. If faith is a blessing, then you'll keep making new discoveries about yourself and God. William Barclay has a story about a boy that's on his way to school. It's in the days before transportation and yellow buses. He's carrying someone on his back, smaller than himself, unable to walk. And the person says to this boy, "Do you carry him to school every day?" "Yes," the boy says. "That's a heavy burden for you to carry." "He's no burden. He's my brother." 1 John 5:3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and this commandments are not burdensome." The Bible talks about the topic of the heart, where the subject of motivation surfaces. The word heart has a broad range of meanings, but refers to the core of our motivations. By nature, the heart is selfish. It wants what it wants when it wants it. A heart that ignores God has the core motivation of selfishness. If a person desires to seek their own needs, then the philosophy is that I want what I want. I want power, pleasure, significance, respect, control, even if I need to squeeze God out of the picture. Jesus teaches that the heart can be transformed by love. He lived in an unselfish way and was motivated to risk all for the sake of others. He taught sacrificial love, but he also lived out this kind of love. Jesus' journey to the cross showed us that he was motivated by a selfless love. Jesus died willingly for us. His example teaches the importance of sacrifice. We may not die for others, but we can reach out. We can give them the good news. Jesus challenges us to give of ourselves. He says, "Love each other as I have loved you." The heart's ever-present question is, to whom do you belong? The path of change always goes through the heart. When we look at the fruit of our lives, it is a hope that God brings that will be glorified with our pursuits. The pattern of Scripture is clear. Its many stories reveal people who have turned their hearts to God. Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." People are indeed complex. Beneath the surface is a heart that is always looking for fulfillment. It makes sense why we go through uncertainty. It's because our hearts become restless. Our misdirected motives can cause us to stumble in our lives. Our hearts can become tainted and corrupted from being in rebellion to God. Jeremiah 17, 9-10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind." God can take what is broken and fix it. If you're open to saying the words of David, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Eventually, what is hidden will come to the surface. More important than knowing all about your motives is knowing God himself. Are you willing and able to trust Christ with your future? Are you open to being born again from the inside out? Jesus can become your Lord if you ask him to enter your life. It's simple. You just pray, "Lord Jesus, forgive my sin." It's an admission that you need a new start, that you can have a lasting peace. You're one prayer away from beginning a relationship with Christ Jesus. Thanks for deciding to tune into this broadcast. It's time to close our worship service with another memorable hymn. Just remember, Christ in your life is just one simple prayer away.
See you.
to live.